You and we worship you. We ask you, Lord God, to let your anointing come upon your servants that we might bring forth your word in truth and life. Let it be the words of Almighty God and not merely the words of men. Let us decrease, Lord Jesus, that you might increase and send your word forth to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Stay in flow. Stay in flow. The word says that we're vessels of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. We're wells filled with living water. Amen. Wells that bring forth living water. If you know what a well is, it fills up with water. Now look, wells today and in the past are sources of life. In many cultures, a well is a significant place that creates a town. In the West, if you understand anything about Western culture, here in Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, the Utah territories, where there was water, water is life. And where people dug wells and there was water, where there was windmills, more people have died in Colorado over water rights than anything else.
Yep.
More than the Indian battles, and I'm going to tell you, because water means life.
Life. That's right. And if you want to impede somebody's life, if you want to impede somebody's health, if you want to impede their influence and their prosperity, then what you do is you clog up their well. That's all you need to do. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Staying in flow, Genesis 26. Find your Bibles and go to Genesis 26. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 6 to start.
You know, you can read it because you have glasses now.
I do have glasses, but I'll let you. Can I have a couple of those cloths beneath you, please? Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. You can read. I'll go.
26:1. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. Oh, wait a minute. Understand your Bible.
Should you don't understand my Bible?
No, I got stories of stories. Stories inside of stories. Look, that ain't in the Bible. Stories inside of stories. Now, there was a famine in the land. Besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For you and your descendants, I will give you all these lands, and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, my laws." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. And then down to 15. Are we going down to 15?
12 through 15.
Oh, 12 through 15. Down, verse 12. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. First of all, he did what? He stayed in the land. He was obedient.
That's right.
And the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth.
So here he is, faithful man. Everybody else has left the land. God says, stay in this place. Just stay in this place, and I will be with you. And so he stays in that place, and he goes to the well, and notice what they threw into the well. What they threw into the well, it says, was they filled them up with earth. Here the earth represents the world, is what it represents. You are all wells of living water. Rivers of living water are on the inside of you. And what the devil always tries to throw into to stop up the rivers of living water on the inside of you is the earth. It's the world around you. Every day you get up and you start your day in flow, and here comes the world throwing dirt at you, trying to throw dirt into the well. Some days if you wake up and you're like, this is going to be a great day, and I spent my time with God, and I can feel the river going, and boy, I'm ready, and I step out into the world, and here somebody throws dirt right in my face. And next thing you know, I'm like, okay, well, that wasn't that bad. And then I get out there, next thing, somebody picks up a shovel, and they throw that in my well. And then I go to work, and then somebody else throws dirt in my well, and I go all day long. And here's what the devil does. He uses circumstances, and he uses people every day to try to continue to throw the world's dirt into your well. Why? Because he can stop up your well, then he takes away your life.
I mean, how many times do you feel like the world, the minute you walk out your door, starts throwing dirt in your well?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's while you're still in the door, right?
Yep.
It happens. And God bless you. So sometimes they're just throwing dirt in your well, right? Now, here's what a lot of people do. You got dirt in your well, and they go, God, just make the dirt go away. God, just make the dirt go away. God, just make the dirt go away. Right? I mean, we're just going to pray. Lord, clean my well. Ooh, I need some drink. Lord, clean my well. And they just wait. I'm just going to wait on God to clean the well. And then other people go like, well, let me just, if I can just get some of this out of there. And what happens? You just make it muddier. You just make it worse. Why? Because you're doing it. And so we can pray, okay, Lord, just clean it out. Or we can try to do it ourselves.
Keep praying. I'm gonna do what the devil does. Go ahead, pray.
Lord, no more dirt. No more dirt. No more earth. No more world. No more.
We'll try and get it out. Come on. You should be trying to get it out of there. What's wrong with you? Come on. Keep going.
She just loves to get my hands dirty.
You feel like this some days? You know, you're trying to get all the dirt out, and here comes the world. Here comes your mom.
Look, I got some.
Here comes your dad. Here comes your brother. Here comes your employer.
Stop. Wait.
No,
wait.
No, I'm not going to
stop. Oh, look, I got mud now. Oh, isn't that what happens? You end up with mud, crud. Is that white you're wearing? You know, two can play at this game.
Oh, thank you.
But isn't that what happens? It's fine. I don't care. Because we're trying to, we think it's like a vessel. But really, we are like, it says, they're living waters. And living waters is not a bottomed, you know, a carrier. It's open at the bottom. It has springs. Okay. If you've ever been out where you find the springs, I mean, I want you to think about this. What would happen if the devil just took huge shovelfuls of dirt and put them into Old Faithful?
That's exactly right.
I don't think it would bother Old Faithful, right? What if even the drinking fountain out there, just push that drinking fountain on and try to shovel dirt on top of it. What happens? It doesn't get clogged. Why? Because it's in flow. It's in motion.
The best way to keep the daily shoveling of dirt, you can pray from now until you go to heaven for the dirt to stop getting flung at you, and it's not going to stop. This is what the devil's going to do. Every single day, he's going to use whatever people he can, whatever circumstances he can, whatever he can every day to try to clog the well on the inside of you, the rivers of living water. And you can pray, or you can just sit beneath it, or you can get in flow. And staying in flow is what keeps the dirt coming off of you and coming off of you. It's the movement of the water that pushes the dirt off. It's the, just like that fountain. And I want you to think about this. If you go to the zoo and there's a water fountain, or let's say, you know, some of these little up by where Jason and Beck live is the big mall up there, and they have the little water that kind of spouts out and the kids go and play. Go to one of those someday and take some dirt and throw it on and see what happens. The water just pushes it away. If you go to a drinking fountain and you put a little spoon of water in, the water's going to push it away. If you go to Old Faithful, take shovelfuls, the water's going to push it away. The stronger the flow on the inside of you, the more dirt of the world that can get thrown at you, and the more it'll just keep getting pushed away. And just getting pushed away. You've got to stay in flow, but you have to have power. You've got to have strength in that flow, not just the little tiny trickle. John 7:38, New King James, he who believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. We don't have
a big
good
pot.
Concept.
Doesn't say a right. holder.
Right.
Not a cistern.
And this is a hard concept for a lot of people in Colorado, because when we think of river, we think of the Platte River. But when you're from somewhere where there's rivers, you understand the concept about the power of a river, or like Old Faithful. In the NIV, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So it's going to flow from our heart. It's going to flow from within him. And my favorite is the Amplified version of this scripture. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as Scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Continuously. Because as the dirt is thrown at you continuously, the springs are flowing continuously, and you're throwing it. I like what Rex says. It's just throwing it right back in his face instead of settling down on the inside of you.
To flow. Here's the definition of to flow. To stream or well forth. To move along in a stream. To proceed forth from a source.
Amen.
See, look, to proceed, what's the source? We were talking about it. What's the source? Christ is the source. He is the source of the flow within us. You need to allow the flow of the living water. See, if, like I said, in Oregon, Andy went back young, hadn't been back for a few years, but he really saw the power of water. Here in Colorado, you don't see the power of water. We're driving along the coast highway, and I'm like, buddy, I fished that river there, and I fished that river there. He's like, holy smoke, that thing is like three times as big as the Platte. I said, yeah, those are tiny ones. And then, you know, we go past the Neskowin and past the Trask and past the Wilson, and he's like, holy smoke, everywhere you go there's rivers. Yeah. And a spring, flows no matter what. You put dirt on a spring, and you know what you end up with? Mud, until there becomes enough flow to cleanse the mud off. You can't stop up a spring. You just can't do it. I don't care what you do. It's going to continue to flow no matter what. And those rivers are going to continue to flow in power. You know, here you see a dry riverbed. Some Christians are dry riverbeds. But we're supposed to be flowing in that. And that having that anointing coming out of us, which allows rivers of living water. And then when again, we're in opposition to the world. So when the enemy keeps putting shovels full of the world on you, what happens? You keep rivers flowing, and it pushes that off. That's supposed to be the intention. Isaac stayed in flow regardless of how much dirt they put on.
It was maybe a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember when it was, but I think it was on a Tuesday night, and there was a prophetic word that Rex had, and it was about the anointing. You guys, some of you here, when you remember that, praying for greater measures of the anointing, because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, and that when the more the devil sends, the more dirt that gets thrown, the more of that, you need to pray for the anointing, because it is the anointing. And so many people, I want to help you in case you don't understand this, so many people think that the anointing is different than rivers of living water. It's the same thing. Rivers of living water is the anointing. And so when he says, you need to pray for the anointing, you need to pray for greater measures of the anointing, what you're praying for is the rivers of living water on the inside of you to get in movement, to be flowing in greater measures and in greater measures and in more power. I'm not flowing like the Platte. I'm flowing like Niagara Falls. That kind of power. And it is breaking off every yoke of bondage that has settled on me. It is breaking off and throwing away all of the dirt that is continuing to be thrown at me every day. So I just want to help you to understand, you're not talking about two different things here. Jesus is the power. Jesus is the living waters. Jesus is the anointing. If you're seeking the anointing outside of Jesus, you're looking for the wrong thing.
Well, which is when he met the woman at the well, he said, I will give you a drink of living water and you will never thirst again. See, that's what he was saying. When you get this, then it'll start flowing out of you, and you'll never thirst again. You'll never need to come out here again and get water from this well, because inside of you will be the well of life. Now, we go on, and we see Joseph in 26, 16 through 32. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names that his father had given them. He just went back to what his father had done. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac, with Isaac's herdsmen, and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but then they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants, for the sake of my servant Abraham. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, where he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked them, why have you come to see me since you were hostile to me and sent me away? They answered, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. Isn't that what we were just talking about?
Mm-hmm.
We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm, just as we do not molest you, but always treated you well and sent you away in peace, and now you are blessed by the Lord. Not really. Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. That day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. They said, we have found water. Now look, Isaac didn't get moved by people. He moved. He dug a well, and they said, hey, that's ours. Okay. So he moved along and they dug another well. And he said, hey, that's ours too. Okay. Moved along, dug another well. Nobody quarreled. Sweet. We got some more water. And then he dug another well. And then his herdsmen dug another well and they found more water. And he found water wherever he went, strangely enough. Even though they threw him out because there wasn't enough water, that was the issue. There wasn't enough water for all the herds, so you've got to go. But then all of a sudden these people who threw him out were like, see, you're extremely blessed, and perhaps we could borrow some of your water at some time. Let's make a treaty, you and me, because we've always treated you so well. What did they say? Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, oh, brother, could you just move down the way a little bit? They said, hey, it's ours. Get out of here.
That's right.
So, again, the world is at enmity with us, but just stay in flow. You know, if they go, hey, that well's ours. Okay. That's all right. Here comes this well. Wait, that's ours too. Okay. Look, I could dig in the middle of the desert and hit water. And then what are you going to say? You remember the three kings when they dug ditches in the desert and God filled them with water? We have the same God.
That's right.
He hasn't changed. We can go in the desert and they'll say, yeah, look, you've got Abraham and his nephew. And his nephew says, I'll take the green, moist, wonderful ground around Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm like, ooh, that's good-looking stuff. Abraham went, okay, I'll take the bad stuff. It's all good. God will be with me. Now, who do we read about? Do we read about Lot? No, you read about Abraham. And Abraham had to go save Lot. Because Abraham thought it was about the circumstance that looked green and warm and fuzzy and great. And Abraham said, it is about the God that I serve,
right,
who even in the midst of a desert can make life come forth.
That's right. That's right. And no matter how many times they tried to stop the life that they saw surrounding, and the favor and the prosperity and the provision that they saw surrounding this man, he just kept in moving. He just kept in movement. They kept trying to stop him. He just kept in movement. That's what you need to do. Rivers of living water on the inside of you need to keep flowing, and you need to keep in movement. And when the world tries to stop you, stay in flow. Keep in movement. Don't stop. Just keep going. Take one more step. The devil throws mud in your face. Take one more step. He throws buckets in your face. Take 10 more steps. Stay in movement. Stay in flow. Keep the rivers of living water on the inside of you like he did. One of the things that they finally realized was the God that was with him could not be stopped. And if you will stay in flow, that's what the devil is going to realize too. That's what people that are trying to stop you are going to realize too. I can't stop you because there's a God, something going on the inside of you that I can't stop. And they're either going to move away from you or they're going to try to get in line with you. Scripture says that for the righteous man, God will cause even his enemies to live at peace with him. That's what we read right here. The enemies are like, well, fine, obviously I can't oppose you because I can't stop this God thing you got going on in you, so I'm just going to get in flow with you.
Everywhere you put your shovel, water comes up, so we might as well make treaty with you.
Because
right. We've been your friend the whole time.
Right. I love that. So the last definition, catch this, of flow as we close tonight. The last definition of flow is to proceed forth from a source. If you don't remember anything else here tonight, remember that, to proceed forth from a source. So often, we get to thinking that the source, rather than seeking after the source. So I want you to think of it this way. We think that healing, we seek after healing because that's going to be the source of life for me. We seek after wisdom because that's going to be the source of life for me. We seek after breakthrough, deliverance, salvation. These things are going to be the source of life for me. And we seek after these things instead of seeking after the source of all of these things. The source of all of these things is Jesus. If you will seek Jesus, just Jesus, not seek after your healing, not seek after his mind, not seek after any of these things that you think are the source of life, of provision, of favor, of whatever it is you're looking for. And you'll say, what does it say again? What's the definition? To proceed forth from a source. If I will seek the source, rivers of living water will proceed forth, and everything that I have need of will be given unto me.
Because you have to remember what the source is. You have to remember what the source is. We get caught chasing, it's like doctors who chase symptoms instead of the cause. You know, it's like, you got the sniffles, you got an earache, you got this, you got that, you got this. There's a cause. The source that we're following is Christ, and out of the overflow of Christ comes healing. Out of the overflow of Christ comes wisdom. Out of the overflow of Christ comes blessing. But see, when people go, oh, I want blessing, I want blessing, Christ is over here at the source, and we go off like a little kid at a sprinkler, like a little kid trying to grab the rain coming down, when we could just come to the source and go, all right, I'm going to stand here, and I am going to be soaked in healing and in blessing and in abundance and in wisdom and in life not chasing it over there where it's falling. Because see, then I come into the flow and it goes out from me too. Amen. See, this is what we're talking about, is staying in the flow. And then, go ahead. I got it for you.
Check. Did you find it?
I did.
In John 4, verses 1 through 10, the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground of Jacob had been given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, then you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Living water. I'm going to go on in, down to 11. "Sir," she said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus is the source of your life. Healing is not the source of your life. Relationships are not the source of your life. Money and favor and wisdom is not the source of your life. Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the source of your life. In the Amplified, let me see. Hold on a second.
It was at 1 to start off with. You're down to 13 now.
Yeah, I wanted, there was a part of it. See, I'm not very good with phones. Sorry, baby.
That's why we have real Bibles.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a phone Bible person.
But I didn't grab it when we left, so.
Mm-hmm. I am not at all. The water that I'm going to read. You what's up? On the Amplified? Oh, that is so cool. See, look at you go. Go to 14, babe.
She has 1 through 10.
Oh. Well, find 14 for me, sweetie. Please.
That might be a different issue. Do you have the Amplified on there?
It's all right. No, don't worry about it. I just had it here. She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with. No drawing bucket, and the well is deep. How can you provide living water? Where do you get your living water? Are you greater and superior to our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and he used to drink from it himself and his sons and his cattle also?" And Jesus answered her, "All who drink of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever takes a drink of the water that I give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him for eternal life." Flowing, bubbling continually within him. So again, we think of rivers of living water shall flow from the belly of the believer. Garden hose. Not my Jesus. My Jesus is not a garden hose. My Jesus is Old Faithful. He's flowing. He's bubbling. He's exploding out of me every day. And if he's not, then I need to call out for greater measures of my Jesus. More power to push away all of the dirt and the crud and everything that's getting thrown in my face and your face every day. Springs flowing continually, bubbling, bursting forth from the belly of how many believers?
All of the believers.
Every believer. Every
believer. See, it's not supposed to be about, oh yeah, well, they have it.
That's right.
It is a gift. Jesus said, whoever drinks of this living water will have this. Again, we're not talking about the South Platte. When I first came to Denver, I remember driving in, came from Stapleton, drove past the refinery and the trash place and went, nice. And I came out of Portland, and I go, oh, look, a creek. And my boss goes, no, that's the South Platte River. I said, if I leave my garden hose on at night, I get more than that. I mean, I live in the land of water. The Columbia River is a mile across. The Willamette, they bring full ships, destroyers, aircraft carriers up. So I'm talking about water. Now, that's the God that we serve. Now, we live in a dry place in the physical. But in the spirit, the water, the living water of God is exactly the same. Doesn't matter whether we're here or in Oregon or wherever we are. The spirit on the inside of us is abundant with that. Overflowing river. Like you watch on CNN or whatever on the news and you see the rivers that pushing trees over and cars are floating out of the way. And that's what we're talking about, that rivers coming forth.
I hear pastors say a lot, pastors and preachers that travel around say, Colorado is such a dry place. Colorado is just so dry. Colorado is spiritually dry. I don't know how many of you have ever heard pastors or preachers say that. I know televangelists and these types of people that will not come to Colorado because it's so dry. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Come on. Then why aren't you here bursting forth? Where is your rivers of living water? Come on. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? If it's dry, then let's turn up the water and let's water the state. Not stay away. What has the world been throwing at you? Every day. Are you getting teaspoons of dirt? Are you getting shovels, maybe dump trucks full? What's been thrown in your face every day, and what are you doing with it? Are you trying to, you know, dig it out? Are you trying to dig all this muck out? Are you just trying to sit there and wait it out? Or are you going to get in flow and let the anointing of God blow it out of you? Amen?
So Beth, you poured water into that vein, clear, clean water, and you just kept pouring it, it would just fill all of that dirt.
Yes, it would. Absolutely. Totally displace it. Rivers of living water. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, Father, we just come before you and we ask you, Lord, that your servants, Father God, would understand that the water that you have given us, Father, is rivers, streams, springs bubbling forth, Lord God, of living water. Fill us, Lord God. Let us understand and allow that to come forth in such a manner, Father God, that we become the abundance of Christ. No longer, Lord God, the world putting dirt upon us and us trying to move it. But Lord God, the anointing within us bringing forth rivers of living water with which to heal the nations, Lord God, to bring peace and life and wisdom and healing. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you need prayer tonight, come let the Lord stir you. Let him stir rivers of living water on the inside of you to displace all of the world that's getting thrown at you every day. Amen. We love you guys.
This dry and desert land, I tell myself keep walking on. Here's something up ahead, water falling like a song.